Time is now 6 p.m.
You know what?
Are we rolling?
Yep.
We are rolling. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for everyone for coming. We are at the Economic Tourism Housing Planning and Transit Committee in the Karen L. Binder Library, the sixth floor of the Ulster County Office Building on May 1st, 2018, and the time is now 6 p.m. Just for everyone's note, please note that next Tuesday, May 8th, we will be having a special meeting. I believe it's either at 6 or 6:15 in between the public hearings.
6.
6 o'clock. Thank you, Mary. Mary, would you call roll, please?
Legislator Archer.
Present.
Legislator DeLon. Legislator Litz. Legislator Mayo.
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Present.
Legislator Waltman.
Here.
Chairman Maloney.
Here. All right. Let's see. Suzanne?
Hi.
To business.
Yep. So just here for my quarterly economic development update. A lot of great stuff going on. The big news, the two big things that I guess I want to talk about first. One is film. Really, the county executive, you know, fought hard to get the film tax credit. Since then, we've worked really hard to make film a priority here. We've held 3 events so far, and our 4th event is coming up. Our first event was for town supervisors, municipal leaders, and police forces, how to make your town film friendly. Our second 2 events, we did the same event, one in Socrates and one in New Paltz, for all the businesses that want to be in the film industry, whether it's a hairdresser, a landscaper, or any other kind of business. We had hundreds of people attend those 2 events. The fourth event has been a little tricky to put together, but it is happening this Saturday and it is sold out. It's at the Hudson River Maritime Museum. There's room for 175 people. While I was worried that we would only get 100 people, 200 signed up. So we quick capped the event. And I actually am now getting, like, I have an email on my desk from a producer at the Today Show who's begging me to come. He said, I have my rental car, my hotel, and I'm just sitting here waiting for your approval.
You got to let him through the door.
I'm going to have to. But I've gotten
some.
Like,
might want to let in.
I've gotten some. One guy from Netflix who told me, like, he's, you know, offended that he wasn't included. So once we started getting these emails that people said they were offended, we created an after party. So if you can't get into the Hudson River Maritime Museum barn event, we are all going to go to Old Savannah's afterwards. And it's going to be packed and crazy and whatnot, but the whole purpose of this event is to get the film industry, the people who live and work here, who live here and want to work here, collaborating so that they can make more movies here. The governor just put out a news letter and talked about The Quiet Place that was filmed in Ulster and Dutchess and around here. It was a $26 million impact from one film. So it's huge. And I found out, Mary, I found out your husband, Joe, one of the things we're doing is wrapping a bus, a UCAP bus, with for the Ulster County businesses to say you can register here. So we've created ulsterforfilm.com. All the businesses can put their information in there, and then this way it's a one-stop shop for the film industry when they come, so they can find prop makers and hairdressers and every pre-production, production, and post-production resources. So we're wrapping a bus, and we'll have the bus sitting outside the event, but then the bus will just drive around Ulster County and to tell our businesses about film.
And this is when, Suzanne?
This Saturday night.
Okay.
Cinco de Mayo. So, and we had to, it's a miracle that this event came off, because we had to think about, like, I would never hold an event on Saturday night, but the Cannes Film Festival and the Tribeca Film Festival, and when these people are in Ulster County, and you know, we had to look at a lot of different international calendars to come up with this event. That,
wow.
Yeah, so super excited. The Hudson River Maritime Museum has been really helpful. The Producers Guild of America East, the head, the president, happens to live in Ulster County. He lives up in Shokan. So they've taken a role. Stockade Works has taken a role. Miira from the Woodstock Film Festival is going to be, we're doing a panel discussion. She's going to be on the panel. So, yeah, it's all, and we're getting, like, Orange County is promoting it, and the other counties are all promoting it, and they're like, you know, everybody's excited about it. So that's the update for film. The update for tech is even better than the update for film. We've been working since the fall with Grand Central Tech, which is a tech incubator in New York City. They are located at Grand Central. They have gorgeous offices that we would die for. And what they do is they let in, they get about 1,000 applications a year for tech startups that want to be in this program. They accept 20, and they're from around the country, and they're you know, a politically correct mix of men and women and, you know, everybody else, and men, women, and everybody else.
That actually is technically correct. Okay.
There we go. So, anyway, it's the best and the brightest tech startups, and so you spend the first year on the first floor, and then a certain percentage of them move upstairs into these other gorgeous offices, and they run their tech operations there. What happens is, these people, just like everybody else, come up to the Catskills on the weekend, and they don't want to go home on Monday morning in the summer. So they have this idea to do Grand Central Tech North, and they were initially looking in Beacon and Poughkeepsie, and then they saw our video with Dennis Crawley talking about how great it is to be a tech startup person in Ulster County. They came to Kingston. We, you know, showed them all around Kingston, and like last night at 4:00, they finally said if the UCEDA will agree to incentivize them and sponsor them, they will come. They are going to be for 2 months, July and August, at the Santa Garage, and they are going to guarantee. They're aiming for 50 different companies. And then of those companies, they expect about 25 people to work here for the full 2 months, and then another 100 plus to come for a day, a week, a month, you know, all different. And they'll stay in our hotels and our Airbnbs and rent apartments up here, and they'll bring their families. And we're putting together things like lists of camps. So if they want to come and put their kids in summer camp, what's available? That's like huge news that is like breaking, because with the EDA just met and voted to approve this 2 hours ago.
Can they accommodate them? Do they have enough space there at the garage?
They think they do. I mean, we'll see. It's the first year. They're definitely talking about it like it's their first year.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned that, I mean, it's 50,000. I mean, it's 50,000 is what is being charged, and we're providing
25,000.
So that way, yeah, People know that we're participating at that level. So.
It's a big investment, but when you think about we paid for that bus tour, and we had 47 people on the bus for a day, and we got four businesses to move here. And I just think my goal with this is to turn the people who are working here into brand ambassadors, you know, to have them go back to New York City and talk to their friends and their colleagues and talk about how great it was here. So that's super exciting, and our ad agency this year is Luminary, and what we're doing with them this year is different than we've done in previous years. We're doing events, and so one of the events now we're going to, Luminary doesn't know this yet, but they'll know this by tomorrow, is that one of the events is now we're going to go to New York City, and we're going to get in front of as many tech businesses as Grand Central Tech can bring together for us to get in front of, so not just the people, because they have a huge network of not just their own people, but other people. And so we're hoping to get in front of all these people and pitch it to get as many here as possible. Another event is the Woodstock Film Festival that we're going to be sponsoring as well, and we'll be there with a table and pitching, making films in Ulster County. So I can stop or I can keep going for hours.
Not hours.
Not hours. Okay, I'll just say one.
You can keep on going for hours. I'm okay with that.
I'll just say one more thing. Because our big targets are tech entrepreneurs, film, food and beverage. We held our second annual food and beverage networking event at the Falcon in Marlboro a few weeks ago. And about.
Yeah, how was that? You did it on session night.
I'm sorry. We did it because...
I'm just glad that you said it, Mary Beth. Yes.
We had a speaker.
I've already said it.
I know. We had a speaker come from Massachusetts who's... The issue that a lot of our small beverage, food and beverage manufacturers have is distribution, getting less than a truck full to New York City. And so we got this guy from Red Barn in Massachusetts to come and talk about this particular issue, and this is when he could come.
Yeah. No,
and I'm so sure. I don't like a Tuesday night anyway. I'd rather do something on Thursday night.
Was it valuable? I mean, did he bring a wealth of insight?
He did. And I'm sure I can get you the PowerPoint.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, actually, no, that would be good.
Sure,
yeah.
I can get...
was it packed?
Yeah, there's like 80 to 100 people, and... I'm just reading myself a note.
The place itself is a big draw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And Tony Falco was grateful. We try to do these things all over the place, and he was really, I think.
He should be grateful.
How many people did you have at the event?
Between 80 and 100.
Okay.
Because 80 people picked up their name tags, but then more people walked in, and we didn't really count them. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And it's interesting, 120 registered. So one-third didn't show up. But then a bunch of people showed up who weren't registered. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's hard to plan. Mm-hmm. But Tony Falco was super, super grateful. And Jason Guy from Immuneshine, which is a local elixir manufacturer. It's hard to imagine how popular these elixirs are, but they are. And he is now going to lead a task force for us with other businesses that want to participate to work on these distribution issues together. And Michael really suggested, he really talked about the need to collaborate. And so the fact that he talked about the need to collaborate and we rolled that into, okay, who wants to be part of this collaboration? And a lot of people signed up. And so so that's exciting. That's pretty much it, except to say that, because I'm thinking about all these things that are leading to work, and who does a lot of this work is Tim on my team, and Tim has been promoted. So, so if anybody knows anybody who wants to be an economic developer, they should talk to me immediately.
So what is Tim doing now?
He is going to be an assistant deputy county executive. So basically Mark Longto.
He's taking over Longto's portfolio, I guess, for now. But is he actually handling all the resolutions now? Is that going to be his
big piece of what he does?
Yeah. So.
So it's a huge promotion for Tim, but it's sort of devastating. It's a huge loss because he's been fabulous.
Is he just actually literally moving like from like one office just down to like four offices or three?
Yeah. We're packed in like sardines. Like
so what's going to happen with the, and maybe you can respond, what's going to happen with the broadband efforts that he was spearheading? Is that being?
He's going to keep that.
Okay. Oh, he is.
Oh, yeah. He is going to keep that.
Because they're in the midst of getting that big meeting set up.
We're still working.
May 15th. Okay. Yeah, we can get New York State here, and we need to know immediately because we need to be able to publicize it. May 15th is the next town supervisor meeting, so if we don't do it that day, it'll be after the one in June. But we're still aiming for May 15th.
Okay.
Yeah, and I already told him that
you can't let that go.
Right. That could be because that could just as easily be in his role as in
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, as always, I'm here if you need me any other time to come. And you had requested the reports in writing. So
right. Resolution 146.
Yeah,
you
should have them
so
all.
This is the current data behind it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, if that's all, everybody have a good night.
Do you have any questions with Lynn on
No, I haven't looked at it,
okay.
So I'll take a look at
next
it.
Next time.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, moving along. Resolutions that will be put forth are May 15th, 2018, legislative session. Thank you. Resolution number 162, scheduling a public hearing as required under Article 25AA, of the Agricultural and Markets Law on the addition of lands to agricultural districts to be held on June 19, 2018 at 7:20 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the public can be heard and providing direct notice to affected municipalities, Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. I believe there's a list in the back of the resolution of the 14 parcels.
Mm-hmm.
And just for everyone's knowledge, the Farmland Protection Board will meet on May 31st at the Cornell Cooperative down in the plaza to review these. And in the meantime, as you said, Hector, someone will be going out viewing the properties to see that there is an actual agricultural use going on there.
Just so that way everybody's like in the loop, like they've already been doing that.
Right.
Like that's the positive. At least like this is already sort of like
so
in motion. But
once it passes through us, then it goes.
No, it goes to Farmland Protection, then
okay,
back
then
to
back
us.
Back to us.
Okay.
We're just setting up the public hearing for it.
Correct. Yeah. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Resolutions 164 through 170. Okay.
Oh, 470, sorry.
Being that we're going to be holding interviews starting in another 15 minutes and then getting together on the 8th at 6 p.m., do we want to just postpone them till next week collectively? We're not going to act on...
Right, so should we take them as
a
group?
Well, do we want to just discuss, by the way? Do we feel like we need the extra time or no?
Extra time for what?
No, I'm saying, like, meaning, like, after we finish the interviews, do we want to just go and vote on these or no?
I feel like we said we were having a special meeting for that.
But the special meeting is going to be... All right,
then let's stick with the process then.
It's going to be 15, I just figured it out. 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, no. We'll stick with the process. Lynn, what do you think?
You're asking me. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. You are many things. You're not going to get on the block.
Why don't we postpone them?
For 1 week?
1 week till May the 8th.
All right.
But, if we can't, we're going to have 20 minutes to come to a consensus.
That's not enough time.
Correct. So, we may be into June.
I don't know if that's...
Or if we need to call a special meeting towards the end of May or middle of May?
Before session.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to do that if we can't... If 20 minutes doesn't cut it.
Right,
well,
okay.
It's supposed to be that you're coming next Tuesday with your two lowest.
Three lowest.
However you want to go and cut the... Yeah, all right. I guess we're... So the motion is right now to go and postpone until next week, right?
No, well, we have to put them in a group first. So I move to put resolutions 164 through 174 as a... It's not a group, what do you call it?
170.
As a bundle.
Oh, sorry, I saw the other one. As a bundle, right. Somebody has a second.
I'll second.
Second. Any further discussion?
On the bundling.
On the bundling.
Yeah. All right. Hearing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 We always call it a new thing, by the way. We always call it a new thing.
So carried unanimously.
All right.
And then we have to postpone. Make a motion to.
Well, actually, Mr. Chair, at this time, can I just move to table, and then we can move on with the rest of the agenda. We can just kind of discuss this a bit more at length.
We don't table after we postpone.
But if I'm tabling for the purpose of actually voting on it later in the meeting, then a motion to table is actually appropriate.
Well, then you have to come back to it.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying right now we can just kind of
let's just come back to it.
Yeah. All right. So,
resolution number 174, appointing an alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board, Town of Platicill.
Move it.
Second.
We have whoever that person's resume. We have all of the necessary resolutions and resumes.
Yeah, she is an engineer by training and has been on the planning board before. From my old hometown.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution number 191, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and the United Way of Ulster County Office of Employment and Training. We're very fortunate enough to have
Hi,
Lisa
guys.
Berger here today.
Move for discussion.
Second.
Some stuff. I'll just quickly. So this is for our summer youth employment program. We do this every year. Just so you can have a little bit of information. I just want to remind everybody that the money comes to the county through the Office of Disability and Temporary and Disability Assistance. And so in order to qualify for this program, a family either has to be at or below 200% of poverty, or the family or youth receives cash public assistance, food stamps, Medicaid, or HEAP, and the youth themselves receives SSI. This is just some key statistics from last year's program. It's a highly successful program. Last year, we had 240 applicants. We were, the money coming to us allowed us to place 145. You can see the towns that they worked in. You can see a little bit of their breakdown, their ages. And there is one small thing in the contract that I do need to talk to you about. Applications at this point are they're only trickling in. And I think in part the new minimum wage has to do with that. The contract asks for a wage of $10.40 an hour, and today we discussed moving it up to $11. And the reason why is because places like Stewart's and Quick Check and places where these young adults can go get a job themselves and are all hiring are paying $11.50
to $13 an hour for those entry-level jobs. So we'd like to be able to pay them $11 an hour so that hopefully that will encourage applications. And let's remember that they're at 200% of poverty.
And can I just, how are the jobs identified? Are they in these communities, or this is where the person's from?
So here, I can actually give you, I can give you each this. This is a sheet of the actual businesses that employed them last year. And this is at the worksite. You can pass that around the table. And actually, the... Our business services team and the person who oversees the program does direct outreach to businesses. We do take a look at what applications come in, and then if we don't have enough work sites in a town, we beat the street until we find places that will take them.
And these are full-time, or?
The average number of hours that a young adult works in this program is 28, but they can work up to 40, and some do. Anything else?
Question.
And is it, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
By Legislator Rodriguez.
I will yield to Legislator Archer. Please finish your question.
Thank you. I'm just getting educated on
this. That's okay.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah.
What types
I love
of jobs? Yes. What and so these it's kind of like they're interning at these businesses, right?
Well, they're actually paid. It's actual work. So one of the things that we do.
But is the business paying for it? No.
No, we are. That's the money from OTDA. And the contract, what actually occurs with this contract is the United Way actually puts them on their payroll. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're approving. We contract with them put them on their payroll. And the really attractive thing about this program is that United Way picks up all of their workers' comp and unemployment. And
do
so
businesses know about this, or do you target businesses?
No, we go deep. We do a lot.
It's both. It's a, you know.
So here's the thing. So if you look at that, most of the young people in the program are from the city of Kingston. If we need to identify more businesses in Kingston that will take them, we go find the businesses. If we have a whole lot of people from Ellendale signing up and we don't have enough, then we try to go out and find businesses that will take them. I can tell you that one of the things about this program is a lot of businesses say to us, if it sounds too good to be true, it must be too good to be true. So it kind of takes them a little while to understand, no, it is really as good as that. We're going to let you have this person. We are going to pay for them. There's no liability on your part. And you can even set their hours, and they're your employee. What we do ask, because it is a learning situation for the young people, is if there's a problem or a difficulty, an incident at work, that they give us a call, and that we have a chance to send someone to the site to see if we can work out whatever the issue is, because it is supposed to be an they are supposed to be learning how to work in this program.
And how old are the kids typically?
So, as you can see, the majority of our young people are 16.
Okay.
It can go all the way to 20.
Which
and actually,
seems odd, but okay.
They're young adults. So anyway, we've actually, and I don't think I had that particular chart. I do have an attrition chart that, and I'm not sure. Oh, I did put it on there. And actually, what we've found is that, believe it or not, the older... Once you're able to move all the way up to 20, the older ones are the ones who are leaving. Mm-hmm. They're the ones saying, I've had enough of this. Now, we always assumed it would be the... Once we started tracking that, mm-hmm. it was really interesting. We always thought it would be the 14, 15-year-olds because they get in trouble or whatever, and that's not really what happens. They're very eager, most 14, 15-year-olds. It's a first job for them. It's mm-hmm. exciting. So.
That's great. So... My question just gets back to, of course, how heavily weighted it is to Kingston. While I understand part of that is eligibility, but, you know, when you've got 74 in Kingston and then you have 5 in New Paltz, you know where what I'm about to say and where I'm about to go with this.
Well, you know, Hector, we have actually done everything we can in New Paltz. We give these to Jim Tinger. We give them to the high school. We and we reach out to all the churches and synagogues and whatnot. And that, I mean, we really try to broadly let people know about this and to encourage them. We also work with Department of Social Services. I think there are a couple, in addition to some communities being underrepresented, there are targeted groups that are underrepresented, and, like foster children.
And mind you, I don't mind if I have to go and basically go door to door if you've got flyers to go and hit Meadowbrook Circle and to go hit Colonial Drive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, end of the day, when I go and see that there's 5 in New Paltz and 75 in Kingston, mm-hmm. the disparity between the number of eligible youth. And, you know, it's 13 times? No, wait, yeah, oh, wait, 5 times, 13, yeah, 13, thir- over 13 times, right?
So. Right. And we have some great work sites in New Paltz, and we haven't been able to fill them all.
15 times. Sorry, I was having a... Camp Whitney. I know, I couldn't do math for a second.
I think part of it, too, though, is, you know, what percentage of the kids in New Paltz are, you know, under the poverty line. I look at...
No, that's what I'm saying, the eligibility. When I say the eligibility component, I'm talking about the entirety of the eligibility. I'm saying that it's not as if, you know, yes, I get this perception of New Paltz being a wealthier community. Mm-hmm. This is a bit of a misnomer. It's more in terms of where the poverty is in New Paltz, or not poverty, but at least the less affluent areas. They exist, and I know they exist.
I'm happy to work
because they're my constituency. That's why.
I think 48% of the kids in Rondell are on the school lunch program, which is basically, they would qualify for this. And
Not necessarily. That used to be an automatic qualification, but it's not anymore. Actually have to be 200% of poverty, mm-hmm. receiving cash public assistance, mm-hmm. getting keep.
And remember that poverty percentage is actually based off of what census district they're in. So that becomes a whole other little piece of it. And is it zip code based or is it census block based? I think I thought it was census block based because that's what's always been previously been. And because of where the college is and where certain things are accounted for, New Paltz has some quirks.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, I'll go into the shop right in New Paltz, and I might be the only one that are paying cash for my groceries mm-hmm. instead of a benefit card.
I'm
just wondering, because if you need help with this, I look even in our own communities and some of the small businesses in our communities. Because I see very little here, so that's
we would love more businesses.
And it's also the number of kids from that area too. So sometimes when you have a demand, we go find more businesses.
Transportation in the town of Rochester
is tough.
Is very difficult for families that qualify.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's really tough.
Tough. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the kids would have to ride the bike there. Or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
That's why I said
Lisa asked that the wage be adjusted from $10.40 to $11. We can do that in the contract?
If you could amend that through the resolution, we appreciate that.
Okay.
If the sponsors agree.
Which I think are here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. All right. Do I have a motion to...
So moved.
Is there a second? Second by Legislator Waltman. Thank you. Further discussion?
Yeah, thank you.
Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, before I leave, I just want to make sure everybody knows about that.
Yes. Just a question, Lisa. This is 100% federally funded?
Yes.
Yeah. Will, by changing the salary, that's 60 cents?
We did the math. It affects one placement. We figured that out.
All right.
As amended, you're going to put on here.
Do you mind?
I just put in pencil there.
Oh, there it is.
I just quickly wanted to make sure that everybody knew that there's a veterans job fair next week.
I'll grab one from there.
This is done in conjunction with the veterans agency, and I just want you all to know that we already have pre-registered more than 90 veterans, and I also want you to know that it's open to any active duty reserve, guard, and anyone who has any kind of family member who has served or is serving. So the whole idea is really to try to get back and thank people who serve this country and by doing this, and I want you to know that there are over 1,000 job openings at this job fair from 60 businesses.
Very good. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you.
SUNY New Paltz Student Union Building.
Yeah. Oh. It was also in the last committee.
Thank you.
Ben Blackman covered it too.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Our last resolution, resolution number 192, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and Peter Lutzi and Brothers Contracting, Inc., Ulster County Area Transit.
Move it.
Moved and...
Second.
Second. UCAT's getting a new parking lot, huh? 100% state funded.
Yeah, for the public transit modernization enhancement program.
Very good.
Is it pervious pavement?
Actually, no. It's not appropriate for that site.
Why not?
It's all ledge there.
Where is it?
Up at the UCAT.
Yeah, but where? Okay, it's on a ledge, but what? Like, basically behind, like, tucked away, or what?
It'll run down into that guy's neighbor.
Into whose neighbor? Oh, into your neighbor. Yeah. But no, I'm actually asking, like, where on the footprint?
This is the entire UCAT parking lot, front and back. No service will be interrupted. The vendor's going to work with us to make sure that we're doing half-time.
All right. I'm going to have Mana call you.
Any other questions for Don? Don, did you want to? I didn't mean to.
I wonder if you guys have questions. I mean, it's as old as the building, and there's indents in it due to the weight of the buses, so it needs to be.
There's no new impervious surfaces. It's paving was already impervious.
Very good.
Yep. But if you're going to pave it, you might as well do it better.
Yeah. You can't unimpervious it, I don't believe.
Sure, you can. If you're pulling up the asphalt, yeah, you can.
The application wouldn't be appropriate for this particular parking lot.
Thank you.
Well,
maybe you two could go meet with Peter and help us with the job.
How old is the building?
We will.
There you go. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. That concludes our regular agenda. But before we go, we have, let's see.
Well, we also have the
minutes from our April 3rd, 2018 meeting and minutes from our April 24th, 2018 meeting.
They weren't listed on the agenda.
No, that was my fault.
Mm. I'll move it, though, Mr. Chairman, because we want to be expeditious.
Yes. Is there a second to Legislator Rodriguez's motion?
Even though they were not listed on the agenda.
Are you adding them to the agenda at the same time that you're moving to approve them?
Sure.
There you go. Resolution has been motioned and seconded by Legislator Waltman. Any further discussion? Additions, deletions, or corrections? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So carried unanimously.
All right. So since our first person is here.
Take care. Hold on 1 second.
Let me sign these.
We want to go the same format.
Well, before we...
No, I mean Legislator Archer.
Yeah. I'll take over those duties if you want.
Well, you're on a roll, so...
Why don't you... You're on a
roll.
Hold on, Hector, please.
Jeez, Louise.
Do we need to, we're going to make, someone make a motion to go into executive session?
Before we do that, I want to make a comment.
Yes, you may.
I would like to add the names of Legislator Lynn Archer and Legislator Brian Waltman to the group to be interviewed.
What's that?
I said I would like to add the names of Legislator Archer and Legislator Waltman to be interviewed, to be on the IDA. So before we move into executive session,
as legislative appointees.
Yeah, we've had legislators on the IDA before. Mike Borardi was on there for 4 years. Currently, there are two on Sullivan County, and as you go around the state, there's different.
I just wish I would have.
Yeah,
well, we discussed it very very quickly. As a matter of fact, we discussed it. No, I'm saying, but like just recently, myself and.
I don't want to do this right now. I want to go into interview mode.
Well, no, but I'm just asking that they also be considered.
That's fine, but I don't want to discuss it now. It's 6:30. We have appointments,
okay.
And we should keep to our schedule.
I just want to make sure I'm announcing it in advance,
yeah,
so that way
fine,
it's been announced. Okay. All right. In that case, then I guess I'll move to go into executive session.
I'll second that.